What's up, everybody? Here we are again for episode 9. And here, so you guys know what's going to be the talk of the show. Real life stories from conversations, bit Netflix, anytime. And we're going to get to it. We live in such a virtual world that we sometimes our contact is via cell phone texting, Facebook messaging, Facebook posting, and watching movies on all the streams that are available to us. We're going to get to that in a bit. So let's go ahead and introduce the episode with our sponsor, St. Jude Miracle Oil. I want to thank some of you from the last week. I spoke to Mr. William Vandry, and he has had some of the listeners checking out the product. Go to stjudemiracleoil.com. That's the website. Or you can just go to their Facebook page, St. Jude Miracle Oil, on their Facebook. They have that testimonials and everything that you need to know if you need to check that out. The oil itself, as you know, essential oils, is no mystery that, you know, a lot of times people, they're in the massage business, they're in the sports business, they're in the, you know, athletic business. They always need ointments for their joints. You know, sometimes you use normal, you know, things that you buy at CVS, like Bengay, you know, and all the different things. Even the patches that people use these days. There's so many other options, but nothing beats, in my opinion, the concentrated power of miracle oil, in the sense that it just sips into your joints and stays there. If you have any pain, it alleviates the pain. It's very strong, natural pain relief properties, okay? So we're going to get that more over the benefits of it, you know, at a later time. But right now, I'm kind of going to get warmed up. We are getting people streaming in, and I want to say hi to everybody. And I'll try to single each of you out towards the course of this podcast and this broadcast. And here we are again, coffee time with Carlos Machado. So please raise your cup, okay? And that's, like they say in Australia, cheers. Okay? So we're going to get to the topic right now. It's already 9 o'clock. And you guys maybe don't know that I talk a lot, right? With all this podcast, am I killing you here yet with my talk? I'm not embarrassed to talk, you know, and I have different things that I do, they're openers when I talk to people. But the reason that I like to talk to people, and since I was a kid, I've always done that, is, you know, it's a natural thing. You know, you see somebody out there and you have no clue. Sometimes we judge people so much by a first look. You know, the person may not reciprocate, you know, eye contact, or they're kind of secluded. And you see nowadays, for instance, I used to live in a neighborhood, and all I did with the neighbors, I would wave at the neighbors and say hi. And that's the extent of my social interaction with my neighbors. And I've been in that neighborhood for 10, 12 years, you know, and I was like, wow. So it's almost like we live amongst ourselves, but we're at the same time secluded from ourselves. And when you have tablets and entertainment and distractions, you know, with all the smartphones and the flat screens with the smart TV and stuff, and the video games, you know, for the kids, it kind of helps out that isolation from human contact, because you somewhat feel you can replace a friend with a virtual experience. And I can tell you from my experience, you know, I travel a lot. I just came back from visiting some friends in Canada. I'm getting ready to go to Australia. You know, a lot of times people, when they travel, they go for all this touristic stuff. They all, it's like, let's do a marathon in Paris and visit all the museums, which I think is important. If you go to a place like Paris to check out the landmarks and the museums, it's an amazing amount of history, and I think it's worth the experience. But me, what attracts me, you know what my favorite thing is? To sit down in a cafe. You know, they have all those cafes, you know, it's like laid out on the sidewalk when you go to different countries, and I'm going to kind of specify on that, and just watch people you know, have a, you know, a meal, and I do people watching. And it's like the greatest movie, because even the airports, you see the farewells and the greetings, people either leaving or people coming, the reactions on their face. And human reaction and human interaction is such an amazing thing. You know, some people, they meet for the first time, and you hear about love at first sight. You know, I'm not saying that this is, I guess nowadays you have fellows that they fall in love on Match.com or something like that. They can scroll all the girls and they kind of pick, oh, this is the best looking one. You know, oh, she has this personality that's amazing. Because you can make up anything, right? So I'm going to write my resume here. And, you know, hypothetically, if I'm looking for a soulmate, I'm perfect. I'm handsome. I'm very smart. You know, I'm a fulfilled person of my career and blah, blah, blah. And maybe you're going to exaggerate a little bit here or there, like you go for a first-time interview. And, you know, you're going to tell all your goods, but nothing about the things that you maybe are not that great, which I'm okay with it. A lot of times when we meet somebody for the first time, the first front that you put is your best front. You don't want to, you know, impose any information on the person about something that you don't feel proud of yourself. And I think it's too soon maybe for anybody to be too open, although some people just don't give a crap. They tell it as it is, right? Thank you so much, Archie. I appreciate hello, Mr. Young. Good to see you as well. Okay, so we're going to go to it. So I have like this idea that people's stories tell you more about life than movies. And I it's just amazing. Just in the past few trips that I had, I was next to a veteran, and this guy had been discharged for, you know, injury. You know, he was disabled, but, you know, he was okay. You know, he might even train jiu-jitsu with me in the future, in the near future. And his name is Theo, nice fella. And he travels all over. The guy, I guess, got a pension from the military, so he can afford to travel everywhere. And apparently, you know, the mileages and the cars that he has a VIP lounge membership on every airport that you can think of. So I was next to him. He was just kind of, after we had the conversation about the UFC, you know, and jiu-jitsu and everything, apparently he was aware of it. And that's the thing. When you open a conversation, there are a few things more than just how is the weather or how is the weather going to be. You know, there are several topics that, depending who you're looking to and talking to, that they're commonplace in a good way. And it doesn't have to be politics, like I said, or weather, which are trivial topics that, you know, I don't think you can get deep. You know, you can get in an argument these days if you talk about politics. But this for another conversation. So I'm talking to the guy, and one thing that I do and I feel it's amazing is I noticed that in the past I used to talk more. I wanted to initiate the conversation. But nowadays I have more pleasure listening to what they're saying. So the listening part, because you're just absorbing everything that person's saying, and then I kind of ask more questions. So what about this? What about, oh, really? So you travel, where did you go? Where do you go? So this guy loves basketball. So he follows around the teams that he likes. So he was going to LA when I was going to LA to visit my brother Higgin. This fellow was going to LA too. And that was right before I had my first episode of Coffee Time. Maybe the second one. I had to be at the airport. No, actually, it was the first one. Actually, you guys remember? I had an airport coffee time. So he hooked me up with his VIP lounge at Virgin American Airlines. And I was like, you know, I was not expecting that. And that's the thing. When you kind of have a conversation with somebody, and I didn't ask any favor, nor I feel that the conversation has to be based on personal self-interest. It's genuine. So he was telling me about himself. He might come to the academy to do some jiu-jitsu. He was nice to me the first time we met. He didn't have to. He said, no, come here. I'll go with you. You're my guest. at the VIP lounge. So I was able to actually sit in an area and do my first podcast in Facebook Live without even planning. So I guess you can talk now law of attraction, you know. And so that was kind of like something that I do. I say hi, you know, and I just say something like I love soccer. So if I see somebody that is like me, Latin, Latin descendants or Hispanic, you know, I just ask, you know, do you follow soccer? Have you been up to what's going on? And many of them is just like, you know, they kind of reply. And then from there, we have an angle to start the conversation. And, you know, the stories that I hear are just amazing. You know, I have older people that I met. And I remember when I was a kid, I would enjoy listening to older people because the amount of experience that they have. And a lot of times we are in a society that either we neglect children or we neglect senior citizens. You know, we're kind of like we're our peers. You know, people sometimes don't spend enough time with kids, and sometimes they don't spend enough time with the older people. And both have so much to give in terms of their personal stories. Kids, first of all, they're like a sponge. They're like an open canvas, a blank canvas. They anything that they have, anything that they share, they have their twist of it, because a lot of times they're seeing things with the observation firsthand. They're not tainted by society yet in terms of conditionings and different things. They're pure. So when they give you an opinion, it really comes out of the heart. You know, they don't have time to think about it. So it's amazing when you listen to kids, you know, like and it becomes kind of fascinating for me, because it's like you have the perspective of the world from somebody that hasn't been here long enough to make an opinion. So they give really what comes from the heart. A lot of times when you ask somebody else's opinion, I mean, when we go to school, since they started multiple choice, I think they killed creativity. They killed people's ability to express themselves. You have to actually find what is the answer that resembles what you read in a book from an author that you may not even agree with what he's saying, you know, but you have to actually answer according to, you know, what it is, so you can make the grades. So knowledge has nothing to do with that, you know, in my opinion. But I know it's a system, and you have, if you're going to graduate, you got to go through some of those. But I do like essays, you know, and a lot of times people say they have problem expressing themselves, writing and stuff. I think the problem is not the writing. The problem is we're not used to express ourselves anymore. Nowadays, with text message, you do emojis. You know, how you doing? You send me a smiley face. You know, what's up? You know, are you going to work out today? You give me a thumbs up emoji. You know, I say good night. You know, have a great evening. You know, and you go to Z, you know, just sleep. So, you know, it becomes kind of very, and I understand time is fast, technology is faster. But, man, you got to freeze time when you talk to people. And so I had that guy, you know, and he was nice, and he's coming back. Who knows what's going to happen from there. And then we're going to go now to, in my opinion, what I feel you get out of the experience when you talk to somebody. It's just like you're not talking to... Sometimes you have an idea, like if you approach somebody, you want to sell something, if it's a business meeting and stuff. My thing here is if you approach somebody to learn about that person, you know, and I know that this is a fact, whether it is a social interaction or a business interaction. A person, there's a car dealer, you know, there are different car dealers. There's the guy that does like everybody else. He has a script, he's sharp. He will give you all the deals and probably push you something that you don't need for a much higher tag. They're good at that. But you have those guys that really care. And I've seen car dealers that actually, that they come to you and say, they ask you exactly what you need, what your family looks like, where do you go, what you want the car for. And then they tell you about the product that they feel fits you the best possible way. And it's not the most expensive car. It's not the car with all the additions that he actually tells you. You don't need this car with all this stuff. You know, this is the one that you're going to do it. You can always have more, but this will do for what you're telling me. You know, so there's a sense of integrity, you know, in the process. You know, I understand that people, when they are doing that from a sales perspective, they themselves have to defend their own personal interest. You know, they have to make the sale to make the commission to earn a living so they can pay their bills and whatever else. So it's really interesting when you see somebody genuine. And that's another thing in the conversation. You don't try to put a front to talk about yourself and tell things that you know, in a way that you are throwing at the person, I'm this and that. I don't talk about jiu-jitsu when I have a conversation with somebody. A lot of times I didn't even say who I am. I was in New York talking to somebody in a trade show, in the martial arts trade show. This fellow came to our table on a breakfast, and he started to talk about things, you know, related to martial arts. That's my niche. And he didn't know who I was. And I was actually happy, because I feel sometimes if I'm, let's say, somebody that has a recognition in a certain field, in the martial arts, for instance, people come to you and they might kind of come in a way that they don't open up and show themselves, you know, all the way, because they are like, you know, they want to kind of get your feedback. They kind of get a thin line that they are not 100% open. It's not they're being dishonest. They're hesitant to, they see you from a, you know, you're on a higher perspective because you are somebody that they respect, I guess, in that field, you know. And the guy came to me and we had a conversation about different principles on the martial arts. And I was kind of working with him on concepts, which I'm going to kind of have to elaborate on that today. You know, something that's in my chest here. And, you know, we were just having an awesome conversation. I was telling him, you know, you have like a small tray and a big tray. I was just telling him a difference between a small tray like you're holding here and a big tray. And that actually is a stance in jiu-jitsu that protects you against people attacking you when you're trying to pass the guard. For the listeners that are not into jiu-jitsu or don't know what I'm saying, your stance a lot of times determines your success when you're trying to be in a position that you're safe and you transition to another position that you are in a better advantage to attack. So the guy was kind of like, whoa. And then I was talking about how visualization helps teaching. Instead of explaining a move, like I said, if I tell you, sit in a chair, squat stance, and hold a tray. That's a stance in jiu-jitsu, and it's a very strong stance. How many of you listening there will catch that up right away? You know what I'm saying? So everything has to be visual. You know, if I have to explain to somebody in detail, step one leg, step the other leg, get up, put your elbows close to your ribs, put your hands together, hold a tray, cut the chase, and you remember that right away. And then you have the other things about principles. Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. That's the best advice I can give to somebody who wants to survive. You know what I'm saying? And that relates to anything, whether it's jiu-jitsu, whether it's business. You know, if you have a competitor, keep track of your competitor. Stay close to your competitor in regards to what he's doing or not doing. But in the sense, going back, we're going to go back to the conversation. When you focus too much on other people, you kind of, in this sense, you're missing out on the opportunity on focusing on yourself. Because you are, the person in the mirror is the one you have to deal with every day. And that's your closest ally or your closest enemy. So we are the ones that make it or break it out of our own doing, anything that happens to our lives. We all agree with that? Hold on a second here. Let's cheer some coffee. Welcome, Tiger. Good to see you, sir. Orlando, how you doing, Mr. Vaughn? So when you conceptualize things and going back to conversation, what do you want out of a conversation? You know what? I have a theory here. If I want to entertain myself and I look for a good movie with, you know, some plot, you know, like my wife and I sometimes, we kind of try to shop around which TV series, you know, we're going to hook up with. You know, it's a moment with my wife that I enjoy a lot of times about the touristic thing. We work you know, we're busy all the time. We have our kids. We are homebodies to a certain extent. You know, we want to spend time with each other. And that's the thing about conversation. You want to spend time with people. If you kind of project your time into a movie, I think it's entertainment when you have your spouse or somebody that you want to, you have a movie time with your kids, awesome. But when you are talking to somebody, they give you the story of their lives. And it's literally like a film. It's like a film. And when I was in Canada this past weekend, each place that I've been, I was in Toronto and Ottawa, I have met some of my friends that I haven't seen in a long time. And this time, I was not hopping around. I was actually able to spend time with each of them and talk, you know, and have a little bit of a personal perspective of life from their eyes. And I had stuff that I had no clue. They took me to places that I've never been. Like in Toronto, my friend Fariba took me, you know, to the Go Bus. You guys ever hear this expression, Go Bus? Go Bus means you get in the bus will go. And it won't stop until it gets whatever it is that you want to get. It's not like a bus that stops at every station. Once it goes, it keeps on going. It's the coolest thing. So you can have the heaviest traffic in Toronto. And you go to the Go Bus, it has the speed lane, the special lane, and you beat the mark right there. So with that said, but it was out of a conversation in a coffee shop that I learned about that, you know. And then, you know, you have stories, like I said, that happened. Like I was talking to my brother Higgin. I never talked to Higgin much, on, you know, even on the phone. He's always busy. He's always this. And when I was in L.A., I was able to sit down with him and some of his friends, and he was just telling me stuff that I had no idea. The guy is a great storyteller, by the way. If any of you talk to Higgin, you'd be entertained just by listening to him, you know. And he was just saying that the people that he meets and the things that he learns from each of those guys. And he was, like, in Brazil in an island. You know, some friends of his took him there. And basically, you know, Higgin has such a great network. So now he's helping people get stuff done by meeting one another. And he, you know, they favor him. You know, they give him something back for his effort of networking. Okay? But I want to kind of get the feel here of you guys, what you guys think. All right? When you talk to somebody, are you in a hurry? You know, that's the thing. A lot of times we're in a hurry. Did you ever notice when we come to a restaurant here in the United States, we walk in, we eat, we ask the bill, and we're out. We're always time pressed, always clocked. In Europe, anywhere, you go eat, it's a 2-3 hour ordeal. You almost like feel like, my gosh, I'm not going to stay in this restaurant for 3 hours. But then when you start to get into the groove, you start to realize that people, you know, they have the little appetizer, then they have another plate. They don't eat much. It's small portions continuously. We here think that eating is you put a mount on your plate, eat it at once, and then you're done with it. You know, and then they enjoy. They have their coffee. They have the little wine and stuff like that. And when I was in Italy several years ago, I was dead tired. But then after I went to the restaurant with my host, it was like an amazing experience. They were telling me, you know, everything that I didn't know about the place. I was in Sicily. And they say things like, you know, if you see a woman walking ahead of a man, don't look to her. Because usually a lot of times the big bosses, the mobsters, they put their wives in front and they're behind. So they check out anybody who's in the neighborhood if the guys are going to check his wife or his girlfriend. Check her out. And you better watch, man. There's some stories there where they do, you know, that thing about, you know. But anyhow, so here, let me kind of pick your brains here, you guys here, on some questions that you might have.
Laurie B7887 says, any tips for beginners? My daughter and I want to start training this summer.
Laurie has Instagram Live. She has a question about tips. She wants to start training with her daughter. I think here, you guys, when you shop a school, you have the reviews. I guess you can do your first work, which is checking out, you know, the ratings and, you know, the reviews and stuff like that. Or, you know, convenience if it's located, you know, in an area that's accessible. You do all that shopping, you know, part first. Hands on. You got to go there. Sometimes go unannounced. Go unannounced. Don't make an appointment. Show up when people are not expecting you. Mm-hmm. And then when they ask you, oh, I just want to watch. You know, I might be interested. Don't say you're interested. I might be interested. And sit down as an observer. And that way, and the two things that I see happening, you know, if you have a kids class, of course, see the appearance of the instructor. See how the class goes. If the kids seem happy, if the energy is high, if the kids are not being, overly worked, you know, if there's no sense of too rough of a training, how they treat beginners, you know, you may even try a class or two. You might have to go to more than one place, Lori. You know, we do trials. You know, you do like for negligible cost. You go for 3 sessions. It takes more than just one time for you to check out the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Corey McCoy MMA, what about starting children in jiu-jitsu? What age is best so they don't lose focus?
Yeah, kids, you know, they're not going to have focus as us adults, but they develop, they mature, and sometimes they have an eureka moment, you know, and they literally become miniature adults. They got really into jiu-jitsu. But 3 and 4-year-olds, they're there to play. You know, you have to play, and then you teach them the tumbles, maybe one move here, one move there. I usually don't encourage people to teach submission to kids too early because they don't have the maturity to understand. So, but then ideally from 5 and up, they have more attention span, so it becomes a little bit more effective. But between 3 and 4 years old, they go there and they just learn the basic mobility training.
Yeah, coordination.
Yeah.
All right, Josie22B, I'm not sure why this happens to me all the time where someone talks to me and never lets me get a word in. It ends up being a one-way conversation.
Josie, okay. So on the listening and the talking, that's a very good question, by the way, because a lot of times you have, I call the conversation hoggers. You know, they just take over the conversation. There are body language that you can do, or there are certain words that you interject here and there to kind of draw the attention of the person off their talking, so you can intervene. So a lot of times, if you touch on the person's shoulder, or if you say, just hold your thought for a moment, just a second here, I'll interject this. Oh, hold on. You have to actually have a command in a subtle way. Instead of saying, shut your mouth, you know, and slap the guy in the head, you know, I guess my wife said she agrees that's a good tactic. Just slap them, whack them in the head, shut up! You know, but the idea here is you got to kind of like when they start talking, wait for them to finish a sentence and then you touch the shoulder and say, hold on just a second. And then when they try to cut you, no, hold on just a second. You know, and then you go from there or whack them in the head.
We've got Casey Mars on Facebook.
Casey Mars on Facebook, yes.
Good morning, Professor. My son is 12 and he's been training 4+ years. He's competed in a lot of tournaments, but now he's kind of burned out. I've let him drop to 2 times a week because I want him to keep going for life. Any wisdom on how to keep him engaged? Just talk about our kids.
Yeah, okay. So kids, what happened, they go through stages where if you alternate, you know, the Russians, the wrestlers, they don't train wrestling all year long. And they're amongst the most technical and best wrestlers in the world. And basically, they do a lot of soccer. They have soccer or some other hobbies, stuff that they really enjoy and have fun doing it. And then, like, in between seasons, they kind of refresh doing those things. My kids, if they do jiu-jitsu for a while, after a while, they do wrestling or they do football or they do other things. And as they grow up and become more focused in regards to goal setting, out of their own initiative,
yeah,
they will do, you know, based on their choice, keep on consistently on the jiu-jitsu all the way. But I think one of the issues that I see with parents in particular, they project themselves on their kids. You know, when the kid not only trains a lot but competes a lot, it's not just the training itself. You know, for you to compete a lot, you got to train a lot, right? So you have an intense schedule as it is at the academy, and the pressure of the competition that happens often, you know, to a point where the kid, you know,
can't deal with it.
That doesn't want psychologically to go to that pressure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's normal too as they grow. They have their peers in school and stuff. Mm-hmm. They want to do other sports just for the social part of it.
Yeah.
So I think what you're doing the right thing by kind of alternating or decreasing the frequency in which the kid trains. But you may contemplate giving them some time off to do something else, and then they'll come back refreshed.
And on their own.
And on their own, yeah. Yes.
Okay, let's see. Jits Life Brand on Instagram. How do you get your teammates to feel more comfortable rolling with female training partners?
Okay, this whole thing about rolling with female training partners, if you're a male, what the heck? What's the problem? You know what I'm saying? Unless you have a problem with yourself, then it becomes a problem. But you talk about teammates. I guess some guys, they have a problem rolling with female because they feel if they go all the way or they go the normal way like they do with everybody else, they might push too hard or they're afraid they're going to rough up the female student. Others, you know, there are female students out there. They can hold their own and have a good session against any of those guys. So some guys, they feel at odds. Either they don't want to go too hard and tap out a female, or they're concerned that, you know,
they're not going to... They'll insult the female by not going hard enough.
Yeah, they'll insult the female by not going hard enough, feeling like they're not trying. You know, so I think here, you should roll safely with any training partner, whether male or female. You know, of course, if you're going against somebody much smaller than you, whether a male or female, you know, you're not going to just throw the person on their head on the floor. You're going to be, you know, cautious when you're training. So,
okay. Laurie B7887 on Instagram. Can kids train too much? My 7-year-old would love to be at a school every day if I let her.
Yeah, I think some kids, they just have different mindsets and they like more. You know, jiu-jitsu becomes, but you always...
If their willingness is there.
Yeah, if it's their choice. You know, if they show the desire, you feed them or her. You know, just kind of give them what they want.
But vice versa, the other way around. If
yeah. Yeah, but some guys, it's not necessarily based on the kid's choice. It's based on the parent's choice. I want to put my kid to train really hard all the day, every day, so they can compete and win the medal and be a champ and stuff. So, you know, you got to balance things out.
All right, any other questions, ladies and gents? Let's see. Let me go scroll back up.
Oh, somebody said they liked the hat. All right, Jason. Thanks, brother.
Joe Valdarez, loving these coffee times with you, Professor. It's therapeutic. Many thanks.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, man, I like this coffee too, man, with you guys.
She's Laurie B. said thank you.
You're welcome, Laurie.
Jit Fly Friend said awesome, Professor. And I guess we are good to go on the questions.
All right. If anybody has any more questions, we're going to Q&A. AJ, welcome, sir. Carlos Alvarez, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to go for a couple announcements here real quick.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Jits Life Brand. Will there be a Brazilian Brawl 2? Never again. Okay. If I have anything to do with it. No.
Guys, let me talk. Let me talk about something here real quick. Brazilian Brawl.
Oh, God.
It was a project for me, my brother John, and my brothers in California. And at that time, you know, we raised a little money and put the thing there. We had a good friend of ours, Leo Fong. Leo Fong is a director. He actually has been in movies. He has produced other movies. We had the late actor Geoffrey Lewis. If you check him out, he's a great actor. You know, he's a father, was the father of Juliette Lewis, the actress. Anyhow, we put this thing together, and we had a bunch of students. We got into this ranch, and some police officer, police officer that was our student, got us like cars, you know, police cars and stuff. So we had such an adventure. We had prop guns that we had the SWAT team flying over the ranch. We were doing the fight scenes with the shootouts because they thought it was like a militia of some kind having a last day of the year, you know, celebration or an apocalypse event, one of the two. I don't even know. But and then they all came, the ATF people, and my student who was the officer showed the badge. He said, no, it's all props. It's all movie and stuff, you know, no worries.
Dude, you guys were wearing night paint during the day.
Yeah, like, we're wearing night paint during the day. We had some
The editing was like totally messed up.
Yeah, well, we had a guy, the sound guy, he was pissed off at the director, and I think he was about to get kicked out of the project. So on the post-production, when he was doing the cuts, he added, if you guys watch the movie, and I'm not ashamed to say, there'll be noise of cats, not cats, like, kind of like making a meow at the end, or somebody farting. There were fart noises. They were included in the footage that have nothing to do with the scene. So the sound guy sabotaged on the editing, the sound.
I'm crying right now.
But what the heck? I feel like when you watch that movie, we didn't have a cast. So we had our students. So you see the same face of this guy getting killed probably 10 times in the movie. One time the guy had no hat. He gets killed. Then we put a hat on him. We kill him again. Then we put a bandana on him. Then we kill him again. So we got to do what we got, right? I mean, we have a low budget or a no budget. Get your bodies out there.
At least the jiu-jitsu was good.
Yeah, I guess. But anyhow, one thing that amazes me with that movie was we made that movie. We never knew what would come out of it. And I can tell you, of the top movies of all time that I have ever seen, that's the top bottom. You know what I'm saying? But because of the uniqueness of us doing it, it's funny. And then if you already know us, hopefully you're going to still have any appreciation or respect for us after you watch the movie. I'm afraid you guys might change, not show up again on my broadcast here once you see that movie, but that's okay. It's a risk taker.
How about Higgins' music video?
Yeah.
Speaking of funny.
But that Brazilian Brawl, my father-in-law actually is the one that brought my attention that was on Blockbuster. You guys remember Blockbuster before the age of stream TV? Blockbuster was the big deal. I remember going to Blockbuster all the time to rent out, you know, DVDs and, you know, all the stuff. And Brazilian Brawl was there. And he called me and said, hey, did you have any instructional video that you did? There's this movie here, this movie Brazilian Brawl with the Machado brothers. It's like, what the heck is that? I had no idea. And then I realized, oh, shoot, that's the movie that we did. That's how I found out we made the Blockbuster, man. But anyhow.
All right, I have a lot of questions on...
go ahead.
I have a lot of questions on Facebook. Stefan Roy, how do you keep the body not too sore all the time if I'm teaching training 5 days a week for 4 hours?
All right, Stefan.
Welcome to the club, Stefan.
How you are not sore when you run a marathon every day? Come on now, that's a jiu-jitsu marathon here, but that's all right. I think here you have to do more positional training, flow training, and then occasionally the heavy training. Even if you do every day a heavy sparring, it's not 4 hours of heavy sparring, because you want to grow your technique. So you're going to kind of get a few, repeat the drills, the Bruce Lee 1,000 reps a day kind of thing sometimes. So you're going to kind of mix it up in a way that you save your body. See, I'm lifting my left shoulder. I'm lifting this sucker here. Before, I didn't have time to exercise my shoulder or rest my shoulder because I was doing escapes from the bottom. Guys in Texas, I don't know what kind of steak they eat. Those guys are huge. And they will crush me from the top and smash my shoulder against the ground. So, you know, your stance, open chest, I call that the big boss from the hood. We're going to talk about body position. Chefão do bairro. You fight with your chest open and somebody's on top of you, it doesn't matter. You can breathe better. If you turn but you have your chest open, it doesn't hurt your shoulder compared to if you're crunched up, because then the shoulders get off dislocated a little bit. But anyhow, you got to pace and get some jacuzzi, some massage.
But even you don't train 4 hours a day every day.
But I can train for 4 hours.
I know you can, but you don't.
No, but this is what I do. When I'm teaching, I do the drills with the students, and I get to a light stretch. It's like I'm doing a light run on a treadmill. I'm not going all out. And then I do my role, let's say, either in the morning or in the evening, not both times. So I alternate row more in the morning, more positioning at night.
But you don't train when you're teaching.
Yeah, a lot of times when you're teaching, you have the option to roll and train, but sometimes the way I see it as an instructor, the way it is right now with so many people on the mat at the same time, if you're on a train, you're not looking at your students, you're not observing what they need to work on, and they're there for you. You're there for them, not they are there for you.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
Okay, I have another one. Kelly Reif.
Kelly Reif?
Yep. That is a real issue when rolling in mixed gender. I find if I tell those who I am rolling with that they are going too hard or not hard enough,
yeah,
that it fixes a lot of the problem.
Yeah, so the thing is when you're rolling with somebody, if the person is going too easy or too fast, it's like a gauge. Get the temperature at the level that you will benefit the most. So you communicate. A lot of times you guys don't talk to each other when you're rolling. Slow down, man. You know, or can you go a little faster? You know, just kind of talk.
They're talking about Higgins' video he did, Another Day, Another Hispaging.
Oh, my gosh. you guys got to check that out. Another Day, Another Hispaging. The greatest.
Another day.
And then they say, Australia, Brazil. Australia, Brazil. I'm going to do one. Texas, Rio. Texas, Rio. Wait, I'm going to outdo my brother right now. You guys cool if I do like a little rap song
and
stuff?
You know what? We should like get the students at the academy together and we should do
one
video.
For Higgins. Yeah.
What was that trend that was like a long time ago?
I'm not sure.
Where,
but
like,
yeah, nowadays,
like, they play music and everybody would be still, and all of a sudden they start dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we should totally do that. Because I know, like, Soneca.
Yeah, yeah.
He just did a video. Yeah.
In Abu Dhabi, yeah.
That's hilarious.
So you guys were, sorry, Rob, I missed you this weekend. Hope you had a great time.
Right. Heath Thompson, can't wait to see your new Carlos Machado art on some clothing.
Thank you, Heath.
Let's see. Fart noises are common when there's good pressure.
Oh, my gosh. As long as they are not stinky.
Jason Anderson, I worked at Blockbuster. Let's see.
Yeah, what probably else? Jason.
Oh, it was the Harlem Shake. That's right. That's what it was.
Oh, the Harlem Shake.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's right.
Let's see. Yeah, Rob said he's sorry he missed you. And then Johnny Guerrero, we need a Carlos Machado version.
Hey, Johnny.
Johnny, he can't dance. At least Higgins got the swagger.
Yeah,
Carlos can't dance.
I can't dance, but we'll see what we can do. But I think I may do an improv.
You can chicken dance. Because
I'm good at actually creating lyrics. I have some versatility on that. So I might pull off something for you guys. You guys cool with that? If I do like an entertaining video just to kind of get a little laugh. Okay, so it's cool.
That's so funny. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, John Carter said Harlem Shake. Let's see. Yeah, I guess we're good.
All right,
that's
we're
it.
Good?
Yeah.
All right, guys. So remember the other conversation. Listen more. Talk less. If the person is killing you and doesn't let you talk, instead of slapping him in the head, hold on. Touch them.
Don't do the Lindsay Machado method.
Yeah, the Lindsay Machado method doesn't work. And I can tell. She'll piss me off and we'll get into a brawl. It's going to be a Brazilian brawl, Machado style. But, yeah, Kelly, you guys train with each other. Communicate. You know, get the temperature. Stefan, train smart, man. You can train for 10 hours if you train smart. But if you go hard or spar heavily, too many hours in succession, you know, you need to have breaks and rest out. Okay?
Yeah, Kelly wants you to rap. She wants you to do a rap video.
Rap video? All right.
Okay, guys.
All right, so that's it for now. We're just kind of getting to the groove. I had this late flight last night. Didn't get a chance to kind of focus so much on what I want to say. But this week, tomorrow, we're going to have another edition. And you may have a pre-recorded edition on Wednesday because I'm going to be up in the air going to the beautiful country of Australia. And with that said,
Australia,
Brazil, Australia, Texas. All right. And then, but I'll still be doing the podcast from there. And I really appreciate your support. And announcements one more time. Carlos Machado Competition Training Camp, May 19th to May 21st. Do not forget, strategy, mindset, defeating bigger opponents, getting out of the stalling game, facing wrestlers with good takedowns, how to pull guard properly, your ace move, when you're losing and you have a minute left, what it is that you're going to do to pull it off, okay? And my brother Higgin also has a camp in Brazil starting June 3rd, if you guys want to check it out. My camp is on my fan page. You can just click
Higgins
on...
Higgins is too.
Higgins is called bjjthecamp.com. And it kind of opens...
Damian Maia.
Yeah, they have Damian Maia. Yes. They have Hansel Gracie. They have my cousin Crawling Gracie and Higgin himself. And he might do a rap with all you guys there if you guys decide to go. And it's in the Brazilian paradise called Florianópolis. an island with 42 beaches. Okay, my Portuguese is better now. Last week, you guys probably made fun of me. And it's going to be kind of like almost a week long. And if you guys check it out, literally, it's a steal. And what else is going on? Any other announcement? I guess that's it for now. Don't forget, if you haven't done that, St. Jude Miracle Oil.
You're going to be at the Worlds this year, right?
Yeah, yeah. I will go to L.A. For the Worlds, attend after so many times, say hi to everybody, watch some of my students out there. So it's going to be on the weekend after my training camp, which I guess the 27th of May, towards the end. Awesome. So that's it for now.
California fans will come
see you. All the guys in California, I look forward to seeing you too, you know, late May, early June. So that's it for now, guys, our edition. Thank you so much, everybody. Quote of the day. When you don't want to talk, listen first. If they talk too much, slap them in the head and tell them to shut up. I'm just kidding. See you guys later, everybody. Thank you.